I thank the Lord for that song. That song means a lot to me this morning. And I say that because I found myself, me and Janelle and the boys, singing that song on the way to service this morning, driving down the road. And so that song was on my heart, and you know, it's amazing to me how God works and how He can work all that, something that was on your heart, and you hear something reference that, or maybe the same song again later in the service, and how the Lord can bring everything together and work. So I appreciate that. Thank you for being here this morning. It's good to, you know, what a day to be out. What a beautiful day to be out. I know I make reference to the days, to the beauty around us quite a bit. But these last few days have really reminded me, you know, of how much God loves us and does things for us. The days, the nice cool days that we've had, these cool mornings, it reminds me, it's a little comical, I've made mention of it before, but one of the last messages that Brother Larry Abbott preached, he made a comment with his sense of humor. He said he was referencing to the day, a Sunday morning that he was there preaching. And he said, you know what? He said, today is such a beautiful day. He said, if I was God, he said, I would cross my arms, look down at this day and say, look at what I just did. And I feel like that's, these last few days have been those kind of days, and it has served as a reminder to me of how much God cares for us and what He does for us, and how He, these are the things that He does not have to do. You know, but He does it because He loves us. I would appreciate your prayers this morning as we share a thought, that the Lord would help and bless and help this to flow, and that it would edify. Y'all, please pray for me. There is a term in the manufacturing industry called a PM, and the importance of PMs. Now, that's an acronym. So that does not mean the time of day or evening or time to go to bed or anything like that. But it's an acronym. And in the manufacturing industry, it's a very, very, maybe one of the more important acronyms. I want to write what that stands for on the board. So PM stands for preventive maintenance. And I'm sure that many of the men, the brothers in this congregation, have seen that, have dealt with maybe some of that. I think some of us may of all have dealt with some of that, maybe, in our lives. But the definition of preventive maintenance, from one of the dictionaries, it says maintenance that is regularly performed on a piece of equipment to lessen the likelihood of it failing. It goes on to say, it says, it is performed while the equipment is still working so that it does not break down unexpectedly. In the industry, in the profession, my few professional working years, last 15, 16 of those, I've dealt with, been around, become familiar with quite a few PMs, some preventive maintenance. Some of those things usually refer or reference maybe some bearings that need some grease, maybe a belt that needs to be changed, maybe something that everyone here can associate with is maintenance on vehicles. Oils being changed, tires being rotated, spark plugs being changed, those type of things. Doing those things that, when we have a piece of equipment, doing those things necessary to that equipment to keep that equipment running as long as possible. To keep that equipment going so I can get its intended use. So what I intend for it to do, that I can get that out of that. So the importance, yes, the burden this morning is the importance of preventive maintenance in our lives. And I would like to, you know, try to tie that in with a spiritual meaning. I was talking to someone last night, and I made a comment. I said, I feel that one of the most important things that God has entrusted us with is our souls. He has given us that responsibility. It is up to us. We are the deciding factor of where our souls will end up. And I believe everyone understands the importance of that, the importance of keeping our souls, the importance of that job task. And I believe I'm speaking to a crowd who does, or at some point, has been involved with the keeping of your souls and has done those things to keep your soul preserved. So, I think of my life today and the keeping of my soul. And I see y'all sitting here, and y'all are here in service this morning. That's part of it. That's part of some preventive maintenance. But here we are this morning, or here I am in life, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm moving forward. I'm going on. I'm living life. The Lord's blessing. The Lord has supplied all my needs. And I'm pressing forward. And I've got heaven in view. I'm working. I'm going the right direction. I'm running that race. And I'm on my way. But I think this morning there's got to be some things along the way that I do along the way that's going to help me to get there. We sang a song this morning right before Sunday school. That song number 4 in that little children's book said, "He's still working on me." If I went to purchase a vehicle, a brand new vehicle, and my intent with buying this brand new vehicle is to drive this vehicle for the next 15 to 20 years. And I get this vehicle and I drive this vehicle home. And I get in this vehicle day in and day out and do my daily commute. Can I expect to get 15 to 20 years out of this vehicle by never raising the hood, never rotating the tires, never checking the oil, never changing the oil, and never doing the maintenance necessary, the maintenance needed to that vehicle for what my intention of purchasing a vehicle? No. If I purchase that vehicle with the intent to get that much use out of it, to drive it till as long as it's expected to last, I'm going to have to do some things periodically to that vehicle to get that use out of it. And so I think it is in our lives, as we have heaven in view, as we are going through life and we're keeping our souls and we're doing the right things and we're saying the right things and we're doing all these things, there's still going to have to be some preventive maintenance. There's still going to have to be some things that God's going to have to work on us in our lives in order to get there. It's not a one and done kind of deal. I think that's the outlook that many have on a relationship with the Lord. I feel like many out in the world today feel like it's a one and done kind of deal. They can go to a church service and the minister can call, you know, for folks to come up. That's usually how it works in those denominations. Call up and you stand in front of an altar and you get prayed for and you raise your hands and that's it. And it's done and it's over with. And you're free to go on and go on about your daily life and do what you do and it's taken care of. And there's not too much thought given of what do I need to do on a daily basis to strengthen that relationship and to dig down and have a deeper desire for the Lord. I'd like to look at a few verses. I'd like to talk about Solomon just for a few minutes. First of all, let's turn to 1 Kings 3. And we'll have just a little bit of reading here, so bear with us. 1 Kings 3, we'll start at verse 3. And as we start to read this third verse, listen to these first few words. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord." Solomon doing what he's supposed to do, loving the Lord. And that's what these few verses are going to bring out here, these next few that we're going to read. It's going to bring out that Solomon was doing the right things and saying the right things. So let's read this, 1 Kings 3 and 3. "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give thee?' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people. They cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise like unto thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the king like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days." So here we have Solomon loved the Lord. The Lord was pleased with Solomon's life. And the Lord said, "Solomon, what do you want? I'm going to give you what you want." And Solomon told him, "Just give me wisdom and understanding. That's all I want from you, Lord, is just some wisdom and understanding." And the Lord was pleased with that answer. He said, "I'm going to give you that, plus I'm going to give you some more. I'm going to give you these riches and this wealth and all this to go along with it." And Solomon went on his way, said the right things, did the right things. So let's go on. Let's flip over to 1 Kings 11 and read just four verses here. So Solomon had all that the Lord gave him. First Kings 11, we'll start at verse 1. If you were to read the 10th chapter, you would read what Solomon did with those riches and how he maintained those riches, how he built thrones and did things with the gold and all that the Lord had blessed him with. But here we are in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It said, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Another translation I read, the statement says, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Another translation said, and his heart was not holy to God. Solomon had everything. Solomon had more than he wanted. All Solomon wanted was wisdom and understanding. And Lord blessed him with riches that up to this point no man had ever experienced, no man could probably comprehend. And then here we find out that Solomon let some things into his life, and his heart was not perfect. His heart was not wholly given to the Lord. I said in chapter 10, if we were to read that, we would see how Solomon maintained that wealth, those physical things, those the gold, the silver, the riches. And what he did with those things and how he built great things, and men around him saw those things and they came to see those things, and those things were great and magnificent. And he spent a lot of time in those things. And he did well with those things. He spent a lot of time maintaining, taking care of those, but somewhere along the way, he didn't maintain something in his relationship with the Lord that he should have maintained. The Lord warned him. He said, look, don't go into these women. Don't let these women come to you. There's something there that they're gonna pull you away from me eventually. And we see here that Solomon didn't listen. But we don't read here. If he would have put as much time and effort to maintaining his relationship with God and focusing on drawing closer to the Lord as he did with his material things, then I think we would be reading a different story. If you go on to read later in that chapter, God becomes angry with Solomon. Chapter 10 shows how he had all these riches. Chapter 11 shows how his heart was, he lost out, or his heart was, he made the Lord upset, angry. Now, I don't know in real life how much time lapsed between chapter 10 and chapter 11. But it can happen so quick. If we are not careful, as we go through life, we're not doing those necessary things to maintain our relationships with the Lord. We can be, saying the right things, doing the right things one day. We can be being blessed. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has given us all we need. He is blessing us beyond our means, and the Lord does that for us. And that's what He does for His people. But it's going to take more than just sitting here and being blessed by the Lord. I've got to maintain that relationship. I've got to do some things necessary in my walk with the Lord to keep those things up in my life, to be able to keep moving. to keep moving forward. It's not a one done and kind of deal where I can come up and be saved and give my heart to the Lord and then I just sit back and I just wait for Him to do what He does. No, I've got to put some time and effort and do those things daily in order to draw closer to Him. I think of a machine and it's moving parts. And I mentioned earlier, you know, we grease bearings and we do these things through these machines. And when something breaks, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not moving. What is the danger in not moving? Well, I'm not moving forward. I'm not making progress. If I'm not moving in a forward direction and making progress, that's that much more opportunity that Satan, the devil, has to come in and to work. If I'm not doing the things that's necessary in my life to fix those things, and I let some of those things get old and get rusty, and that's that much more opportunity that the devil has to come in there and work in my life. And I don't want to allow those. I don't want to give that opportunity. I have to keep moving in a forward direction. I've heard it put this way in the industry, speaking of maintenance, that there are two kinds of maintenance. There's preventive maintenance, doing the things necessary before it breaks, before it gets to the point where it's not repairable. And then there's that kind of it's broken. Now, you know, I'm scratching my head, now what are we going to do? You know, if you've been around any industry, and of course it depends on what industry, machinery, equipment is so vital. I've been in places where you have the right piece of equipment go down, it can mean major, major losses on a daily. And I'm not talking thousands of dollars a day. I've been in some places, I've seen millions of dollars lost a day for one piece of equipment down. I've seen a pump go down, a compressor go down, and the amount of money that's not being made. We can't afford to let, if we can refer to our bodies, if you allow me, as machines, we can't allow these machines to become stagnant and not moving and not in a good working order. We have too much to lose. We have too much at stake. We have that most precious thing that the Lord has given us is our souls. We have too much at stake to let Satan have any room, have any opportunity to come in. So what are some things that is maintenance? That daily maintenance? Well, nothing new, of course. Those things that we have heard over and over all our lives. Daily prayer and daily reading. You know, I was having a conversation. I don't say this to embarrass. I was having a conversation with my boys the other day, and I was just trying to stress the importance of that daily time with the Lord. I found it hard growing up, I guess, just making myself sit still long enough to have those times, those moments with the Lord that I know I should have. And I found it really affected me, you know, through my teenage life and through my early adult life. And so I've tried to stress, I really don't think a young person can really understand the importance of it until you get to a certain age and the Lord really starts to work and show and deal with you. But I want to try to stress the importance to you of daily prayer, daily reading, whether it's a devotional, I strongly encourage some scriptures. Those daily things that we can do, that time spent with the Lord, that making ourselves, reminding ourselves that in the mix of all that's going on in this world today, as busy as we are, that we can somehow find a little bit of opportunity and a little bit of time to direct our minds and direct our thoughts to the Lord. The devil is, I see him as kind of being on standby. And got his full attention, his full focus on us, and just waiting for the littlest little thing to slip up and to mess up, and standing right there ready to pounce. And I want to do those things to be prepared before I have to face those battles. Because when I get to the battle and I'm not ready, and I don't have anything to fight with, but Lord, help me to do those things beforehand on a day-to-day basis. You know, I do see it as fighting a battle, and we fight battles every day, and we're going to continue to fight battles. And if we can think of it in that sense, and the Lord has given me everything I need to face my day and to fight my battles, and we read He's given us the armor and the sword and the shield. But I sure don't want to go to battle with a dull sword, or I don't want to go to battle with a crack in my shield, but I want to make sure that everything about my life is in tip top shape at all times. And that's not going to happen if I'm not putting in the time and the effort, if I'm not putting forth the effort to make it to services and stand up and to testify and all those things that work. You know, we have so many broken people in this world. So many broken people. So many people that are in trouble. And if it were just possible to try to explain and tell those people that it's a little time, it's a little time with the Lord. It's the little things, that those times in prayer, those one-on-ones, it's given a little bit of my day. I want to encourage you. If all your pieces aren't moving like they should be, I think of that song again, "He's Still Working on Me." You know, we all have things that we are constantly needing the Lord to show us, to work on. If you've got those things in your life, and some things are broken, or maybe some things need mending, or maybe you need some new parts altogether, and maybe we haven't done such a good job of keeping things where they need to be. If we haven't done a good job keeping those things oiled up in our life and keeping things fresh and keeping things going, and even if there's just things in your life that you feel you could do better on, that I've let these things have had some neglect. This area of my life, man, it's had some neglect, and I don't pay too much attention to that. But no, every piece of the equipment needs to be running to get the full benefit out of it. Y'all, we have something so precious that it is our responsibility, and that is our souls. And y'all, we can have heaven in view. We have those things the Lord has blessed us with, as He did Solomon. I was thinking of Samson. I didn't bring it out. You know, I was thinking of Samson. Lord bless Samson. Gave him strength. You know, strongest man in the land. And Samson let something creep in. He let something go somewhere. He didn't maintain that relationship with the Lord. David did the same thing. David loved the Lord. The Lord loved David. And somewhere along the way with Bathsheba, David let something, somewhere in his life, he didn't maintain something that he should have. And that's how easy it is. You neglect one thing. That one thing can rob you blind, can steal your soul, if you let it go untouched, if you let it go not taken care of. It's preventive maintenance. You know, I know that's not a term that you'll flip through your Bibles and read that term anywhere. It's a term that we've come up with as humans. But I think we can definitely incorporate that into our spiritual lives and look at that as, Lord, help me to look at my life. Help me to find those areas that might need some oil, that I might need to get going again. If I got a little squeak here or there, Lord, help me to get that squeak taken care of, because I sure don't want it to get worse. And Lord, if there's areas of my life I don't know about, and there's some areas You want to fix and You want me to do some preventive maintenance on, Lord, show me those areas. Lord, I want to be willing to work on those areas. So y'all pray for me that I can do that in my life, that I won't let things go untouched, undone, and that I'll be proactive. And I ask that You would do the same. Thank You for Your attention. Y'all pray for me.